Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless. Hey, listen, I want to just invite you to take your Bibles, if you have one, and turn to 1 Corinthians 2. I'm going to just take a few minutes here. I'm whittling my message down, so don't be afraid. Jesus was an artist. He practiced the art of brevity. May I learn that art. 1 Corinthians 2:9. When we tell these stories that we were hearing this morning, it's bringing to our own imaginations and also to the hearts of others just some things that maybe we've never seen before. Maybe we've heard about some things related to miracles and God healing and God doing these things, and maybe that's been kind of a scary conversation for some of us. Others of us, we grew up with that being normal, and yet here it is, whether it was normal or not, the Father wants to tell us all, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and I like how the Jewish translation says, and the human heart has not imagined all that God has prepared for those who love him. But let's keep reading. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. No one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Verse 12, and we have received God's Spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has, present tense, freely given to us. This is the encouragement that was woven throughout the entire morning. This was the point of, you know, just saying, God, I'm seeing things that I've never seen before. I'm hearing things I've never heard before. I'm experiencing things I never even thought were possible. Now, maybe that's not your story. Maybe right now, present tense, you're like, I see God doing all sorts of things for all sorts of other people, but I'm not seeing it for myself. Maybe you're in that place like you could relate to kind of like Thomas, the disciple of Jesus. So let's turn a corner here and look at John 20. This is a reality. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat what our Christian experience is often like. I mean, Thomas was a follower of Jesus. He walked with Jesus, saw all the miracles, experienced so much with Jesus. And here we are in John 20, verse 24 through 29. Thomas, one of the 12 who was not with them when Jesus came. This is after Jesus was crucified and was raised again. So the other disciples were saying to him, we have seen the Lord. We have seen the Lord. We're going to tell you what we've seen, all right? We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them, and Jesus came, and the doors having been shut, he stood in their midst, and he says, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed? Question mark. Blessed are those. Jesus is now ascribing blessing. Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed. And this is so much of what I think even Christy and others of us, we were touching this morning about choosing to believe. Now, is that because you're a blind follower? No, it's because of what was just described to us in 1 Corinthians. We have been given God's Spirit, and by God's Spirit, we have been given the capacity to know the wonderful things of God. So whether we can see it with our eyes or not, we have this inner knowing that is given to us by the Spirit of the living God. And it is this Spirit that causes our belief to rise up, not our eyes, not our capacity to put our fingers in, you know what I'm saying? Although I love Jesus in that story of Thomas because he didn't belittle Thomas necessarily. I mean, he met Thomas where he was. In fact, it was Jesus who initiated this reach. Put your fingers in there. So he's willing to show himself. He loves to show himself. We love to see the miraculous signs and wonders. We love all of that. And we also know that it goes even deeper than, you know, seeing is believing. It's about experiencing this internal reality of God's Spirit. That's why we stopped and we paused and we positioned ourselves to experience something of God that did not require us to see with our natural eyes. And I would say that our believing was elevated this morning because of that. And Jesus performed, you know, miracles. When he did that, he was compelled by mercy. And I love how mercy triumphs over judgment. I love how when Jesus comes on the scene of any city, like, you know, Brian shared last week, when Jesus chooses to reveal anything, he chooses to reveal extravagant mercy by healing the sick and casting out demons and raising the dead and healing the lepers and all of these amazing things. When Jesus came onto a city, this is how he spent his time. And yet we would also know that Jesus went into synagogues and he preached and he spoke the truth, and people were amazed at his teaching. They said, "Who is this who speaks with such authority?" And so we understand that Jesus came in truth and grace. And I love how, you know, when you think about speaking the truth in love and sorts of things like that, I mean, okay, so truth without mercy, truth without love, I mean, what is that? That's a hammer. And the flip side of that coin is, you know, love without truth, what is that? That's a sleeping pill. I mean, really. We get lulled into this place where we're not awake and we're not, you know, experiencing life in the ways that God has called us to because our eyes are dim. So there's yes and scenario. It's not either or. Yes, it is love, and yes, it is mercy, and yes, it is truth spoken in love. It is truth because he is truth. So that being said, we want to believe the truth. Just as Dennis was sharing and so much of what you were saying and others, it was just like, can we believe that this is true? Can we know it's true? You know, one of the things I know about Earl, where's Diane? Oh yeah, you're hard to keep track of. You know, last month, Earl's body quit working. Despite all the prayers for healing. Right? I mean, that's the reality of what we're experiencing as human beings. Does that mean that God left the room? No. Okay, because what I do know about Earl's spiritual journey over the past years is that he was experiencing a reality of Jesus in the deeper place of his inner man than I think he ever had in his entire life. And so Earl, like us, we're invited to know the treasures of God. That's the invitation. And sometimes we get to experience the manifestation of his presence and his goodness in physical ways, but we cannot neglect what God is doing in the place of the soul. We cannot neglect what God is doing in the place of our spirit. And so that's the encouragement this morning. We want to go there. We want to position ourselves to meet with the Lord daily. And it doesn't have to be in the confines. Even as I was quoting the passage from Song of Solomon, Jesus, in my interpretation of that, it's like we're the bride, he's the bridegroom. If there's any sense of distance right now, it's all for the sake of you coming out of the confines of the city. In fact, you remember, she comes out of her house and into the streets at night, and she gets beaten. by the watchman. I feel this stirring right now. I'll just make a declaration. Some of you are being invited to come out of the confines of religion. And you're being encouraged to press through that journey of discovering Jesus in fresh, new, living ways that are not bound in the city walls of the religious structure. And you are enduring, some of you are enduring, or you have endured some beatings along the way in that journey. I don't know why I felt compelled to say that. I want to encourage you, if you look at the other end of the story, I mean, what was discovered on the mountainside with Jesus is nothing short of beautiful. It's very personal. It's intimate, conversational relationship with Jesus. So be blessed in that. And we are encouraged, as we read, that we have been given God's Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so that we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. And so with that, let's just again just pray and just receive that. Why don't you stand with me? We'll close our time out here with this. God, we have it in our hearts. Just go ahead and position yourself to receive, if that means your hands are out like it's Christmas. God, we have it in our hearts that there's more. We have it in our hearts that there's more. And that doesn't mean that we're discontent with where we're at necessarily. It just means that we know that our eyes haven't seen and our ears haven't heard and our hearts have not imagined everything that you have for us. And so we say thank you for where we're at and bring more understanding and connection with you. And so I just want to bless you now to receive a fresh impartation of God's Holy Spirit into your life, that you can know the wonderful things that God has done for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.